Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Bruce Hurwitz Presents. I'm your host, Bruce Hurwitz, President of Hurwitz Strategic Staffing. You can find us on the web at hsstaffing.com. I hope you will consider us for not only your staffing and career counseling needs, but also take advantage of our speech writing services. This program is brought to you by best-selling author Gil Efron, founder and CEO of Profitability Institute. Gil and his team are dedicated to connecting the dots between marketing and sales, eliminating points of constraint in the sales process, and bringing about extraordinary sales outcomes. Whether cooking up improved results for startups, established businesses working their way through a sales slump, or organizations poised to take a major leap forward, Gil's approach is based on his best-selling book, How to Close More Business in Less Time. You can learn about Gil and how his recipes for success improve marketing and sales efforts at gilefron.com or call him at 813-489-9596. That number again is 813-489-9596. He's always happy to demo how he brings about extraordinary sales success. When you call, be sure to tell him I sent you. Before I introduce today's guest, just a reminder to go to BruceHurwitzPresents.com to learn about upcoming shows and to listen to past interviews. I am delighted to welcome back BJ Javeri. Our topic is how to ascend to the next level in your career. BJ, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Bruce, for inviting me on your show.
It's my pleasure. For those who didn't hear our last interview, please take a moment or two and introduce yourself to our listeners.
I provide coaching to professionals who are looking to ascend to their next level in their current company or to their next job.
Okay, that's simple enough. What's the difference between a job and a career?
A job would be the one that you are currently doing or you're looking for. Career is the sum total of various jobs and assignments that you have done. It could be projects, it could be consulting, it could be employment-based jobs.
Okay. Now, when you applied to come on, you said, you wrote that you have, and I'm just quoting, you have a proven process that would help in defining the various steps for career growth. And we're talking here about career growth. And the five that you list are assessing your current level, unique strengths, setting goals, catalyzing breakthroughs, and amplifying your prominence. So why don't we look at each separately?
Sure.
How do you go about assessing your current level?
So the way one assesses is on various aspects. One with regards to where they are on the career ladder in terms of their title. Then comes in the aspects about their compensation. What they are making in a particular year. Then comes the assessment with regards to the level of empowerment in their roles, that what is the level of authority of making decisions, what's the richness of that role, and the other aspect is what is the level of satisfaction on the job. So these are more of the four broader terms. There could be more granular levels in terms of satisfaction, in terms of work-life balance and stuff, but these are the more essential elements of assessing their current level.
Well, I would think that part of assessing your current level is knowing what your contribution is to your company. And for that, you would need the input of your supervisor and your colleagues, because we're all prejudiced. Nobody is
that good at leaving their body and looking from above and seeing how they actually are performing. We all think we do great. We're all subjective. So what's the importance in doing the assessment to get the objective viewpoint of your coworkers? And that would also include clients.
Sure. So, good point, certainly. And yes, so the first step, how the person is analyzing their own level, and then I help them do the assessment that you mentioned, which is generally called a Performance 360. Now, there are two ways of doing that. The Performance 360 from your senior's perspective, from your co-worker's perspective, from the viewpoint of your direct reports, and from the viewpoint of key clients whose relationship you are managing. Now, two elements. Sometimes these stakeholders are involved when a company sponsors the executive growth, and sometimes it's just the individual who is paying for this assessment. In that case, I help them build some meaningful questions that they could ask these people, since I'm not involved in that part. But certainly, yes, in assessing themselves and their contribution, a Performance 360 really helps.
Now, when you go to your colleagues for the 360, they might start to ask why you're doing this. It may be something for your annual review that you would ask your supervisor. That sounds logical. But you don't want people to start to think that maybe you're thinking of making a move if you're not. And you also don't want them to think you're thinking of making a move if you are. So how do you approach them in such a way that they won't get curious and think you may already have one foot out the door?
Right. Have been doing assessment for themselves. The best way that I suggest client to approach someone for helping them do the assessment, especially coworkers, and not get the feeling that they are looking to move out of the door, is basically sharing the aspect that they want to grow themselves. They want to improve on their behavior, and that's why they are asking their coworkers as help to understand their perspective in terms of the performance of my client, and also be generous enough to pinpoint not only the good elements, but the elements wherein my client could improve.
Now, I think that's a very mature thing to do. But some coworkers may be hesitant to give negative feedback. They may think that, you know, you're going to be insulted and that'll hurt them. So how do you make them feel secure that they can be honest?
First and foremost, you need to select people who in the past have shown the level of honesty, and this is both ways. So they have been vulnerable to admit their own shortcomings, and you build that kind of trusted relationship with them. The second thing is how are you asking the question? So sometimes it is not so much which is quantitative, like a rating, which becomes a little difficult. Better to ask in terms of subjective factor about what would be their suggestion to you rather than saying that you're not doing good. So it would be in the direction is how would I even further improve on that path for any of those skills. So they're not put on the spot saying that you lack in this area. So it's always about improving wherever you are from.
Let's move on. Thank you. Now let's move on to the second. Unique strengths. This is something that with my clients, they sometimes have problems with because of modesty. They don't think that what they do is unique or special. So how do you get your people to identify their unique strengths?
Yes, I mean, you know, like I mentioned in the previous show, modesty, humility, all this being humble is a good trait. Now, we are looking to help a person improve upon their skills as well as grow and increase the momentum of their growth. So in terms of the uniqueness, the one thing that everyone could without bragging is list the kind of competencies and proficiencies that they have because of which they are in a particular role, whatever is their functional role at whichever level they are at. The other aspects is a person doesn't have an issue with regards to sharing their internal motivations or natural interests. There is the other element which uncovers their deeper love or passion towards doing things. And the last factor that you uncover is what are other people seeking you out for? What are they calling you out for? Personal as well as professional relationships. What areas did you factually get acknowledged for in work settings and outside? Now, these elements, they are not at all bragging. So you already uncovered the parts from people who are pretty modest. And then you can connect the dots to these things once they are conversing you naturally with these parts of their life.
I found that an easy way to do it, and feel free to disagree, is to go backwards from accomplishments. I ask the clients what they feel their major accomplishments have been over the last number of years, and then we see why it was that they were able to achieve those accomplishments.
Completely true. That's what I meant from the bucket of prominence, Bruce, that what were their accomplishments with regards to recognition, with regards to awards, and what made them get those awards. And then I connect the that bucket to their passions and motivations. And last but not the least, from the rational element of their current competencies and proficiencies.
Now, we've got about 15 minutes left and three more categories to get to. So this is good time-wise. Next is setting goals. How do you help your clients to set goals? How should someone who's looking to advance in their career come up with reasonable goals?
With regards to their career growth, what I do is first have them envision what they're looking from a longer-term perspective, which is like roughly about between 7 to 10 years, and then work their way backwards to their immediate 6-month term goal. So that you're setting that timeline in terms of their path in the immediate 6 months, and then from there on to the next 12 to 18 months and so forth. When setting their immediate goals, I go more on the specific elements of the goal. the goals that are very tangible. One can clearly specify. One can make out how far are they reaching in terms of the numbers. And the other element to this is connecting with everything that is relevant to their longer-term goals. So from a longer-term goal, how does this current achievements look like? Even though the longer-term goals may not have very specific measures, but you already have a direction to go towards.
Well, I use the word reasonable. And what I found is someone can come up and say they want to get a promotion and or they want to get a raise. And the first thing I do is I look at their career to date, and if the only way they've gotten a raise in a, or a promotion in the past is by changing jobs, then and they don't want to change jobs, then that could be a red light. It may not be reasonable for them. Or if they want to skip a step because there's an opening two above where they are and they believe they can do it, but they've never done anything like that before, then we talk about that. So how do you keep the goals reasonable so that they won't become frustrated and start to doubt their abilities?
Yeah, so there is always the element of stretch goals. As long as the elasticity is maintained, there's no harm in aspiring for something higher. Now, in the near term, with goals which are very specific, one needs to be aware of their trajectory, like you mentioned, in their recent 2 to 3 years, and how they have, been able to move forward. Now, in order to not get them frustrated, you're setting a goal which is, similar, and you have a 15 to 20% to stretch. Now, if the person is wanting to move quickly and they want to collect the, growth much faster than the previous times, then you have to make the person ready to take that kind of challenge and risk. So the aspect is how exponential the goal they want to achieve in the longer term, which makes them take calculated risks in the current time.
I've also found, be curious if you have as well, a generational factor. For example, baby boomers understand that there's a process and you have to crawl before you can walk and walk before you can run. Millennials, and obviously I'm generalizing, millennials want everything tomorrow, and that all doesn't always work for them. What have you seen in regard to the different generations, or do you only work with baby boomers?
I work with all generations, including millennials. What I have found, Bruce, is especially in these current times and with millennials, they don't want to wait that far long. And thanks to technology, thanks to innovation, we have seen some of these, younger generation folks accelerate their career growth much faster compared to the previous generations. So I feel today's time, with the advances in technology, with the kind of creative, thinking, innovation, I think it's quite possible for people to accelerate their growth in comparison to the previous generations. There is a process always in the current times too. At the same point of time, the level of change, the level of growth acceleration can be improved much faster.
Let's move on. And I have no idea what you mean by this, so I'm curious. Catalyzing breakthroughs.
Sure.
Catalyzing breakthroughs. What's that all about?
Right. So I feel that a lot of stuff in terms of your growth and mainly accelerating your growth comes from the mastering of your inner game. A lot with regards to emotional intelligence. And what I feel is it's the mindset of people that separate them. So the question of two young folks coming out from the same college, but their attitudes are different, and they want to achieve breakthroughs by taking those kind of calculated risks. I help them catalyze that breakthrough by introspecting various elements in their in terms of their inner game. One with regards to improving their self-awareness about various things that they are doing, like being more mindful about things, being able to reflect upon a situation that happened and learn the key aspects so that they take that into account for their next initiative. At times, being resilient to some of the shortcomings or failures that they face, being more accountable to themselves. So these all elements help them get to their breakthroughs.
It sounds like basically what you're saying is that they have to be self-aware.
Self-aware a lot. Also socially aware about their surroundings and their depth of professional relationships. Being also self-disciplined, or some people call it impulse control.
Okay. Now, so the breakthroughs are what? Acknowledging your reality, and catalyzing means taking advantage of those realities, working with them?
Catalyzing means bringing it to fruition on a much faster basis. By being self-aware of the actions that you take and the kind of implications. The other elements is by being aware of the kind of repeated behaviors that you have. I help them analyze a particular outcome from the behavior that they had prior to getting that outcome, and what led to that kind of repeated behavior. What is their internal thinking, or what is their belief behind that that kind of thinking? And if they want to change the outcome or want to increase the level of the impact of that outcome, then what is the inner script that they got to change? What is the change in the belief that they have to?
Okay. Finally, we've got about 5 minutes left. Amplifying your prominence. What do you mean by that?
In any particular role or particular position that a person is playing, one needs to, in today's time, make their presence felt internally with their team as well as externally. So what I help them do is improve the levels of relationships with people, help them connect with the right kind of people in the professional network, encourage them to participate in the kind of industry events relevant to their role and contribute to various, various events internal inside the organization by taking opportunities to volunteer at times, tutor junior level folks, writing the relevant blogs or articles. So it all helps them enhance their image inside the company and outside, and that amplifies their presence in the market.
That is absolutely true. I tell my clients that they should be writing articles on LinkedIn. I tell them they should sign up for Helper Reporter so they can get media coverage. And some do, some don't. My entire approach is it's better to have employers run after you instead of you running after them. And everybody agrees with that. It would be nice if it were to happen, but there is a downside to all of this. And that's something that we tackle all the time, because if you are successful, if you're getting a lot of media coverage, if you're getting a lot of people reading your posts on LinkedIn and inviting you to consult with them, panels, you get speaking gigs, that can lead to jealousy. And all of a sudden, your colleagues start thinking that you are a media hound, that you want to be in the spotlight, and that can hurt your career at the company where you're at. So how do you, in 1-2 minutes, how do you achieve prominence without that prominence hurting your current job?
Right, and that all goes back to your original aspect with modesty. My working more is with growing their emotional intelligence and the inner game. Now, once they've mastered that, in today's world, there has to be an intrinsic involvement. The area where I guide them is for people who have not been too much involved in external connections with regards to networking, participating in events, and sharing their knowledge. I have not worked with too many people who too much accelerated towards their self-propaganda. But elements of self-propaganda have to be reduced. And certainly you don't want to show yourself as too flamboyant compared to your colleagues. It should be towards a positive contribution of your work and knowledge.
Just to end it on my note, what I tell them is that's a great way to get your next job, but you have to do it systematically so that you don't offend anyone in your current job, especially not your boss. But
absolutely,
we're out of time.
Sure.
Before I let you go, BJ, please tell our listeners how they can get in touch.
So they could visit my website, and there they could fill up the form to get in touch with me. My website address is www.winprocoaching.com. That is spelled as V like Victor, I like Igloo, N like November, P like Papa, R like Romeo, O like Oscar, coaching.com, winprocoaching.com.
BJ, thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Bruce. You have a nice evening.
You as well. Thank you. I'm Bruce Hurwitz. You can always reach me at 646-368-5381. Thank you for listening, and please keep focused on success.